Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Welcome back to Carolla Classics for part two of today's episode. We kind of teased that Greg Fitzsimmons was asking, who am I, David Wilde? Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we have David Wilde on the show to talk about music? This clip from 2015.
Adam Carolla Show 1774 featuring Dave Rubin, not in this portion, David Wilde, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop, March of 2015. It's a Music Monday. It's a format they used to do on the old radio show. They loosely would do it on Mondays on the podcast, not always, wasn't it strict. But Dave would come in a couple songs, Brian would have a song, Gina had a song, Adam had a song. And this happens to be David Wilde's 100th appearance on the show. Check it out, Adam Carolla Show 1774.
Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
This country needs a great man, and I am that great man.
What? David Wilde, everybody, in studio for his 100th appearance, everybody.
I just found that out from superfan Giovanni. I think he did ran the numbers.
Yes.
And I will say I'm dedicated to making this one of my top 100 appearances ever on the show today.
Yeah, Giovanni told me I was going to have to make a BM in about 4 hours.
Oh.
He's that tuned in
to me. He's a soothsayer.
He knows.
So,
it's rarely wrong.
Yeah, so I plan on being out of the car
and
for that period.
Adam, yes. Although Gina had to twist my arm to get me to mention it, this is my first appearance as a professional athlete.
Yeah, I didn't want him to embarrass himself, but
I don't want to really go into the details of my tennis championship and the money I won, but He was tweeting
about how much he didn't want to talk about it.
I'm guessing
folks at the Mulholland Club are still buzzing about this event.
Oh, there was an email that went out with a picture just moments ago. I'll show it to you after the show. It's pretty erotically charged, as you might imagine.
Uh-huh.
Me in my tennis gear, which is exactly what I wear anyway.
So they have a 5-5 and under senior division?
Oh, no, they do not, sir. It was all in. Everybody in.
Wow.
It was real money. The best $3,705 I ever
Well, you know, clubs, it's a big deal to be the club champion when it comes to golf. That's for sure. The Mulholland Club, as I know from leaping
from
off the roof.
And breaking and entering.
Well, breaking and enemying, which is really what went on there.
I believe I can actually pardon you now for breaking and entering and enemying as a club champion. I think that's part of my power.
So
you are now welcome up there to take a shit legally wherever you choose.
You're like the governor. The Mulholland Club's a big old cool club that was up above Mulholland at the very top of the hill in what we'd call Hebrew Heights, affectionately here.
We call it Kikes Peak, but you call it what you will.
God.
That's good. We didn't know anybody who was, the notion of a country club were things you would see in like sitcom from the time, you know what I mean? We were like the Jeffersons, but when they were living next to the bunkers, and some guy from the country club would come over and he'd have his crest on his sweater, and it was just this sort of thing also that you'd seen like I Dream of Jeannie or something,
the
like
Captain's
the guys
hat.
Are going to the country club, and we didn't even know.
Everything I knew about country clubs I knew from Fletch.
Yeah,
that was it.
It'd have to be, everything was yeah, Caddyshack or Fletcher, whatever it was. These are make-believe places, but this was an actual place, and we could break into it during the summertime. We didn't have to break into it. We'd scale a very steep, rocky hill that was behind it. And it was literally up on a bluff, and there was a pretty steep, rocky hill, but we could climb up it. And then all we'd have to do is hop a cinder block wall that was about 6 foot above there. I'm guessing they got some bars up now, or maybe some surveillance cameras or things of that nature.
And it's now kind of a hipster place. Like when I joined, I was a young blood, not that many, well, pretty many years ago. But now it's like recently I was up there taking a jacuzzi in that place where you enemad or
Ray mainly, but yes.
Ray, and I looked up and Slash was playing at the by the tennis courts. You Ooh. Know, it was there was like cool jams there. There's like a it's
and if
hipster.
You've ever tried to play tennis with a guitar, that's how hardcore he is. You realize just what a deficit. Yeah, I believe he would have beat those doubles if he'd been playing
just
with an actual
the
racket.
Hair out of his eyes.
Move the hair, maybe put the cigarette down, and actually not played with Stratocaster. I think
sure
he could have won.
I think it's easier to play tennis with a guitar than it is to play rock and roll with Axl Rose. I'm pretty sure. He'll test that soon.
He's like, this is easy.
Yeah, this seems relatively
And you call
easy.
Yourself a new blood. I'd call you a blue blood, but I'm going to adjust that to a light blue blood.
Jew blood?
Which is the color of most of blood that's up there. It's mostly Jewish folk up there. Am I right?
I always feel like the Jackie Robinson winning. You know, I won with a non-Jewish partner.
I see.
So we were striking a blow.
You persevered in the face of adversity.
A Brit, a guy with an accent.
So you won the doubles tourney.
This is like Roger Maris's
Calcutta doubles. So there was a lot of betting. It's the one where there's, you know, it's the only one I think where there's like people invest in your team.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never played with this guy before. My partner dropped out and his partner dropped out and we were sort of a forced marriage of tennis, and then people bet on us.
I'll bet he was delighted to see you attempt to make it up the stairs to where the tennis court was with the help of your son.
10,000 steps.
This thing is up. The tennis court is up on the upper plateau of this club, as I recall.
Yes, and I got 20,000 steps by noon both days of the tournament, just playing tennis.
I love it. So jump the fence, end up in the back. The back had a nice big pool and a nice big jacuzzi. And we did basically what gets teenage boys killed, essentially. Just the first three or four trips up to the Mulholland Club to break in on a super sweltering dog days of summer night was simply to drink beer and jump skinny dip in and out of the pool. At a certain point, it became, let's see if we can get girls to come up here with us and go topless around the pool or whatever it was. But then at a certain point, it got into, we got to get up on the roof. It's three stories. We got to see how much cement we can clear and pick one side of the diving board or the other, which doesn't exist anymore, and jump off this rocky roof at night with a buzz with a parapet, like a 6-inch parapet just made for tripping on as you jumped off the roof. So I always tell you, that's what gets people's hands blown off in the 4th of July.
Keep
it's not lighting it a set. It's not taking a cigarette, taping it to a stick and lighting the fuse of a M80, but it's fast forward to holding it with a beer, holding it, lighting it from the cigarette dangling from your lips, and then timing it so the fuse goes down just long enough so that when you throw it, it'll blow up in the air. That's what gets your hand blown off. This is what gets you killed.
Yeah.
The beginning part doesn't get you killed.
No, it's the ratcheting slowly up.
Yeah. The tough part with Ray was once we became hooked on Ray's anima antics, which you'd think there's not...
New podcast on Coral Digital. Ray's anima antics.
It's not difficult at all. It's a very simple math. The coping, the jacuzzi is built into the ground. It's not something you have to climb up and step into. It's on grade, as they say. It's a below grade.
Right.
The grade
Sunken.
Is the slab. There used to be a ribbon, I believe a brick, that went around the
still
jacuzzi.
Is.
Still there. And if you go as a 6'2" male.
Which I did.
And you.
You identify as.
You sit in the jacuzzi, not with your fanny on the step or on the bench, but sitting it more like you're an Apollo astronaut on the launching pad. put your calves outside, right. your feet outside of the jacuzzi, and sit with the back of your knees right up against where the brick starts heading down in the jacuzzi, you'll find that the jet lines up perfectly, as if by design, with Ray's a-hole.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Perhaps by design.
Almost went in that jacuzzi today, this morning, and I am so glad I did not for this exact reason.
And then, once it's on, all you have to do is simply lower yourself down on it, and you will fill up immediately.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Almost too fast.
And who is on the business end of that?
Whoever was stupid enough to not see what Ray was doing in the darkness and remain in the jacuzzi when Ray said, I got to get out, ironically, and like take a leak. Mm-hmm. That would be then your head just hanging out of the jacuzzi and Ray walking around on the patio.
Mm-hmm. Gene, I have a question.
Yeah.
For my 100th episode and for International Women's Day, may I have a hug?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Bring it in.
Strange request.
No, because, and in addition, for International Women's Day, I want to propose playing Adam a song.
Oh. Okay, I picked out a song as well.
For International Women's Day?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is going to tear you apart, mm-mm. I think. And I know no one loves women more than you.
I'm a passionate man.
This is Bonnie Raitt, her great new album, doing a song
by John Hyde. I don't know.
You're going to be very torn. I love this.
Oh, no. Torn by Prince?
No.
Natalie Imbruglia.
I was listening to this before. It's actually really good.
It's great.
By whom?
Bonnie Raitt, her new album, Deep and Deep.
Doing a song by? Is this
you can tell.
But I want you to like it first.
Oh, okay. All you got is this moment. 21st century's yesterday. Care all you want, baby. Everybody does, yeah, that's okay. Lou Reed?
So slide over here.
Oh, man.
You're on that.
But it's proof that record production, that dated reproduction, but this is a great song. When you hear Bonnie Raitt play it, she can make anything sound great.
Well, she could do Pharaoh's Shock. I'd make it rock.
In excess.
Yes, in excess. I was on my XTC roll.
It's a pretty sweet bluesy version.
It's great. And the whole album is fantastic. I recommend it to everybody.
Is it all covers?
No. She actually wrote more than she ever has in her career. She wrote a lot of it. It's one of the only covers, but it's a great little bluesy.
This is hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sexy as hell. Can't take it all. What are you
going to do? My in excess arguments have never been. Never been the lyrics so much as the execution.
No, it's that production and it's very metronomic, but she just puts it a little grease in there. And she's also, what a great player and how much soul she has.
Yeah.
This record, Digging Deep, I really, for International Women's Day, everyone buy it.
Awesome.
She's my favorite woman.
How old is she now?
I'd never reveal a woman's age, especially when I don't know.
She's been around forever.
Ostensibly looks the same she's always looked.
True.
But there's a smart sort of, she went with the little skunk tail.
Yeah, in a Steve Martin kind of way.
In a Steve Martin kind of way for a long time.
And to me, she gave the best, I think that was the best performance on the Grammys, was her and Chris Stapleton and Gary Clark doing the B.B. King tribute.
My favorite.
All right. Going. Somebody, we won't, Gary, you could find it maybe. It's a little last minute. She's 66.
Wow. For her.
Somebody sent me a Lou Reed version of Peter Gabriel Salisbury Hill.
Oh, wow.
I think.
That's
I know.
Such a great song.
Double whammy.
But think about how much greater could be in the hands. the skilled, loving, and talented hands of Lou Reed.
Judy said double whammy. Do you not like Salisbury Hill?
No.
I like Peter Gabriel. I hate that song.
Nobody's ever...
What was this it?
Still, whether it's Yoko Ono or Gabriel or even Joan Jett, no one has ever proved me wrong once by producing. Everyone does this thing all the time. I go, oh, no, you haven't heard. Yeah. You haven't heard Lou Reed's. Okay, produce it. Produce the Lou Reed song that doesn't suck. And I'm... All right, let's just listen.
This is it?
Somebody tweeted me this the other day, and I was like...
In Lou's defense, this was the album Peter asked people to cover one of his songs, so it was a request.
Have you can do it.
Right.
It
wasn't a demand.
You can do it good.
He said, I'll cover one of yours.
Isn't there a retarded child with a banjo that's missing two strings that we could have gotten instead? Oh, wait, wait. Here it comes. Here it comes with the gift.
I could see the city light.
God damn, it's such a beautiful song.
It's like he's mad at you. It's like he's mad at your ears, right?
Yeah. This is punishment.
Eagle flew out of the night. To observe.
This is hurting the original song.
Came in close, I heard a voice.
Sounds like Buffalo Bill.
All right. But when people say to me, you just don't get it. I don't. Well, we could say that about garbage trucks backing up at 5:45 a.m. on my street, right? That's art?
Yeah, sounds like a front loader.
In Lou's defense, he may have done this after he died.
A good one.
Lou Reed is the Emperor's New Clothes of cool, and he knew it.
No.
He knew he possessed no talent. That's why he possessed all the affects of all the things that every cool artist has to have that possesses nobility.
I feel like we get the idea.
All right.
Don't you want to hear
Listen,
the hook?
Everybody's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's your company, Lou Reed. So if you'd like to return your golden your phonograph or your patch or whatever the certificate is, I would suggest you do because you now share company with Lou Reed in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You are with this person.
You're this good.
You're this good.
I like it. Didn't turn it off. I just turned it down.
I'm morbidly curious about the actual chorus.
Adam, all right, he's a super
Adam
talent.
Chicago is getting in the Hall of Fame this year. Now, I don't even know.
Except for the promise, they got Lou Reed and they have Joan Jett in there, and now it doesn't mean anything.
But Chicago, you're cool with them being
Of course.
There.
Horns, songs, everything.
Good.
And I don't care, by the way, if you kicked ass for 2 decades and then you broke off and started writing some sappy stuff. I don't care. You had two decades of ass kicking with some good horns blowing behind you. Perfectly fine. They have, look, you give me 3 or 4 just good, solid, kick-ass songs, I'll put you in there. Lou Reed's 0, and Joan Jett, 0. So now, enjoy, tell your dad, enjoy.
Makes it a little bit less for you.
Play him the Lou Reed song. Play your dad, play him this song when you tell him his heroes, his musical heroes, Chicago, are being inducted, and see how he feels about them sharing probably the same giant Lucite case together.
Next to each other.
All right, let's not pretend like, look, here's what you do. When you take things that suck and pretend they're good, you hurt the actual people that are good. There's not enough room in the world for everyone. Everyone who sucks shouldn't be doing an open mic because there might be a guy at the end of the line who's actually funny, but you're taking his or her spot.
How much better is this?
Oh, now it sounds like a lullaby.
I'm being soothed.
No, my whole thing is with Lou Reed and all the other posers out there, it's not that they choose to go this route. They can't go this route. Yeah. They can't do this. I know how I know. They would do it. They would do it, but
That's
they can't.
Doable,
they can't. Lou Reed can't. He couldn't.
Climbing up on South Street. I just want to hear a little bit of that to clear
You had to cleanse
it. It's a little sorbet.
All right. I picked a song. Don't play it yet, Brian. National Women's
Day? Yeah, Women's Day.
International
Women's
Day.
All
Women's
Day. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was driving with Lynette on Saturday, I think, and we're just flipping through the stations, and I heard this song, and because we have the exact same taste in music, which is not the same, it's good and bad. She hates Joan Jett. She hates all this junk as well. And then we have good. And you think we argue. I think Bruce Springsteen is really good. I think he's overrated. I just think he's as a songwriter and as I don't think he's that smart. But other than that, his music, it's hard to argue with the live performance and the music, save, you know, Born in the USA and stuff that we don't need to ever hear.
I saw him
that
with your wife and he
again.
Seemed pretty swift of the mind and tongue then.
Yeah. We don't realize how much we give, how much credit we give our heroes, whether they're rock and roll or athletes, you know. Peyton Manning gets to be the funniest guy in the NFL for not much.
Yeah, look at a chicken parm. Let's do it again, Peyton.
Yeah.
Woo!
If he was a comedian, he'd be horrible. But rock and roll is the same. But here we go. Yeah. This is us driving in the car.
And I've heard this song a long time.
I haven't heard this song in a long time. And then I thought, well, it's the Sundays.
Not about that.
Love this song.
Yeah, I always try to break it down. I said to her, she said, I love this song. I said, I love this song too. And she said, I said, you know why? That guitar, very Aztec camera, But it's that guitar that you love, that acoustic, that the bass of this thing is built on that acoustic guitar that's doing that strum.
It's pleasing. Right.
That Roddy Frame Master Camera borrowed from Nick Hayward of Haircut 100.
Yes.
Her name, I think, is it Helen Wheeler or something like that?
I don't know. She has a great voice.
Beautiful voice. Around the same time as 10,000 Maniacs were charming us out of our pants.
This may have been a little later than In My Tribe, probably.
Yeah, so a year or two later. It's that little souvenir of a terrible year. Yeah, she's like the thinking person's Cranberries.
Yes.
Harriet Wheeler?
Harriet Wheeler, right. Well done.
Harriet Wheeler. Where the hell is she from? Sunday's got to be English,
yeah,
right?
No, it was British or Scottish. I think British. And she was kind of adorable.
English, yeah.
Yeah.
She sounds hot or adorable. There was a lot of adorableness back then.
A little pixie.
Yeah. All right, turn it up. Let's enjoy this. All right. So I just thought, hey, what year is this? Gary will tell us.
89.
Oh, really?
I just thought. Said, you know the song, Brian?
I do. I thought it was much later.
Makes me watch singles.
I have a theory with this song. I think this song came out and went away and then came back in 94 or something like that.
That makes sense. I associate this with high school and 89. This would have been pretty far ahead of its time for this kind of sound.
It was
sort of like Cardigans, Cranberry,
Rich. I think it was on a few soundtracks, too.
That's what I was going to say.
I think it was a soundtrack, maybe later.
All right, you can bring it down a little. It's the Unchained Melody Syndrome.
Yes.
Which comes back.
Back
you're a very
ghost.
Righteous brother. To
went away, thank you, and then came back in Top Gun.
Yeah.
And or it's just happened a million times with a million songs, but I feel like this one took like a 5-year hiatus and then
ghost.
Somehow got rediscovered. Yeah. So there's the Sundays, everybody.
If you like this, there's a group that called Ivy that you have got a record called Apartment Life that I recommend to you and everyone else. That's they have a French singer. This guy, Adam Schlesinger, who you might know from Fountains of Wayne.
I love Adam Schlesinger.
Oh, this, you have got to, that will be, I will buy it for you if you don't buy it for yourself. Apartment Life by Ivy.
Adam Schlesinger we used to work with all the time. I think
he wrote
the Crank Yankers theme, I'm pretty sure. He wrote, he did all the music. I think I did most of the lyrics, but he did all the music for retro rock and rock.
Yeah. We worked with him with like Neil Patrick Harris on Oscar and Emmy stuff, I think, writing the music for that stuff. He's producing the Monkees' new album right now.
He did the movie Music and Lyrics, I think.
Which I love beyond belief.
I love that movie, too. It's very cute. Very nice.
Quick break to let you know about Live by Live. Did you know that all of Podcast One shows stream 24/7 at livebylive.com and on the Live by Live app? With Live by Live, you get all the podcasts, the latest breaking news, and the best handcrafted music stations all in an app anywhere you go. And it's all just for $3.99 per month.
And we haven't even mentioned the live events yet. Live by Live streams the biggest events on the planet, including the FIBA 3-on-3 basketball tournament and Live by Live's Music Live's Baller Fest, November 12th through the 14th. Get it all with a free 7-day trial. Go to livexlive.com/classics.
And that was David Wild with his 100th appearance for Music Monday.
100th appearance, counting his phoners. If you don't count the phoners, I think it backs out 3 or 4. He still did well over 100 appearances, so you're being kind of a nitpicker.
Yeah, let's count those. And just for reminder,
he's on the show. It's his voice. It's like, well, unless his human body. Then you can't count any of the Zoom shows.
So. Yeah, I agree.
What are you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, they count. And just a reminder, David Wild was a big editor at the Rolling Stone, and he writes for all the Grammy shows and all the award shows like that. And
the CNN's docuseries on the each decade of music, he did those too.
Yeah, and he's booked a ton of great guests for the Kroll Show as well. So
very nice guy.
Yeah.
Love him.
Me too. All right, let's get going with our final clip of the day. This is from August of 2010 as well. let's do some news and play some totally topical TiVo trivia time tonight, Tuesday. Triceratops.
More T words. Adam Carolla Show 377, Dan Milano. He's not in this portion. He'll be in tomorrow's portion again this in the Carolla Classics feed. Make sure to subscribe so you can hear all the good stuff. Dan Milano, best known from Greg the Bunny, Warren the Ape. Dr. Drew was a co-star on that series. Worked on Robot Chicken. And he's still involved in the industry heavily. Really cool, funny guy. Great guest on the show. This portion is just the opening with Teresa's News, Gang Hanging Out, and The Game. Check it out.
And now, a man who is about to lose at totally topical TiVo trivia time today, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. I'm the Dwayne Bobick of totally topical TiVo trivia.
Who?
This white, red-headed fighter in the 70s.
Made a can?
Jerry Quarry. I'll upgrade myself to Jerry Quarry.
Who?
Yeah. I won a couple. I got close. I've gotten close. I do all right. Who knows? Who knows?
You do well when I'm really suffering from my brain tumor.
Stick around.
If we'll it's see. Like chemo week, then you've got a chance. Mm.
Isn't a game. This is my life.
Yeah, I like Shark Week much better.
Than chemo week?
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Chemo week, is that on Discovery Health?
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Well, they're always promoting it.
Yeah, a bunch of guys pushing around those walkers with the tennis balls on the bottom of them, talking about T-cell counts and things like that.
The positive is you get to find fun new ways to incorporate fiber in your diet.
Yeah.
You know they make fiber yogurt?
Really?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah, Fiber One makes a yogurt.
Does it taste any different?
Tastes just like yogurt.
Yeah, let me say this.
I mean, it is just like Yoplait yogurt or whatever.
There are certain things that suck that are, you know, have things in them or, you know, usually when you add things like fiber or remove things like sugar, you fuck things up. But there are certain things that I eat where I just think to myself, why the fuck wouldn't everyone just eat non-fat cottage cheese? Once you take the non-fat cottage cheese and you slice up the nectarine on it, put a little honey on it, mix it up, you don't know what's in it. It's really, I can tell the difference between non-fat milk and whole milk, but like something like cottage cheese, the non-fat version of it, completely fine. But why would you ever just get the regular? You know what I mean? And if you got yogurt that tastes the same as yogurt, except for it's got a shitload of fiber in it, why would you even eat the regular?
Shitload being the appropriate adjective. How are things?
Shit and caboodle.
Right now, they're fantastic.
Things are moving along.
I've been off the chemo for a week or so, so I feel great.
All right.
For the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, for the next 2.5 weeks, I feel fantastic.
You're not going to feel so great after I smoke your ass and totally top.
I was
going to
say, you could reschedule for chemo week if you want to beat Brian.
No.
All right.
No, I'm taking the training wheels off my brain, baby. I'm ready to party. No excuses. Not going to back down. Never back down.
You won't.
Like that movie Red Belt. All right, T-Bone, we got a lot to get to. You got a lot of news to get to as well. Shall we get started?
Let's.
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is the news with Teresa Strasser.
Big news about gay marriage today. Huge. I will get to that in one moment. But first, about your book.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. This is historic. What's happened? Yes, the gay marriage decision is historic.
This is your top story.
This is my lead story, Adam, because
it is.
I've been stunned and shocked and amazed. Mm. So I was talking to my book agent, Anthony Matero, who I adore, and he was saying, wow, Adam's numbers are really amazing. His publisher must be thrilled. And I said, well, like, what kind of books is he beating? Can you give me examples of some of the books that he's outselling? And he gave me a little bit of a list. Perhaps you've heard of some of these books. You are outselling. Have you heard of War and Peace?
Warren? Is the guy named Warren?
War and, like, pretend it's an ampersand.
Oh, I know those cats. They sing. I know their song. Only you know and I know. Because I know that I mean what I say, so don't go and ever take it the wrong way. You know I gotta blow,
Adam, no.
But if you do,
no.
It's gonna get
it's
someday.
It's Tolstoy.
Some Who's Tolstoy?
Tolstoy.
Tolstoy.
Some consider War and Peace the best book ever.
Feeling like a dead duck
Okay, let's move on. You know who you're outselling?
Spitting out pieces of his broken. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, who sings Warren that Only You Know and I Know song? That's
Dave Mason.
Dave Mason.
Wow, yeah. Nice pull.
Thanks, yeah.
You are outselling a book called Night by Elie Wiesel. He has complaints about the Holocaust, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you have complaints about other things.
Well, I got my potpourri iced tea that I complain about in the book and many other things.
That's your Holocaust.
Sure, that's my
Holocaust. In your face, Elie Wiesel.
It's a taste bud Holocaust.
My favorite book, To Kill a Mockingbird, you're beating that.
Yeah.
Take that, Harper Lee.
That's right.
Catcher in the Rye, you've heard of that. You're beating that. And I bet you're thinking, wow, these are a lot of classics. Why shouldn't Adam's book be beating Lolita?
His book's about running over birds and deli sandwiches aren't my bag. And if you think you're impressing me because I'm beating them in sales, well, you're not.
You know why this is even more sad / impressive? Is because this is back to school time and kids should be buying books for their summer reading.
This is a man who has not read a book.
Well,
the book he has written.
Those books have been out for like 500 years, man.
Okay, I'm ready for you. Mm-hmm. Okay? You've heard of Harry Potter.
Yeah, I have.
Your book is outselling each and every Harry Potter
book. Good name for TSV.
It's full of wizardry.
Yeah.
And there's a really old man with a beard in it.
It's got the word Harry and Potter in it.
Tuesdays with Maury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, I'm flattered. And like I said, we've opened up the book plate department to another 2,500. So if you guys want to hop on that, we'll happily get
those
out to you.
I'm so excited. My heart's a flutter, especially because you're also beating a man named George W. Bush.
Yeah.
His book is published by your publisher. It publishes a week later than yours. You are beating it.
Oh, it comes out a week.
A week after. You're beating Keith Richards. You're beating Sarah Palin. You're beating Ted Kennedy.
Well, that's all. Now, are those books out? Are they coming out? But listen, that's all this podcast. That's all the people that are listening.
This is why your listeners, yes, they don't
absolutely
just sit there and passively, you know, just enjoy the entertainment that you provide. They do what you say.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I don't want to, we'll get into the news in a second. I don't want to turn this into a sales promotion, and I don't want to get sappy, but I think it's a new age. It was a time back in the day when Joe DiMaggio would light up a Salem cigarette and go, ooh, so smooth, and then he'd cough and put it out, or you take a bite of the chicken, he'd spit it literally into a bucket, so each take, you didn't have to swallow the Colonel's chicken. There was a sort of bullshit aspect of advertising, and it still exists. But I think we have a newer, sort of more transparent relationship in this new dawn of, look, people, here's what we'll do. We'll come here every day, and we'll bust our butt for 90 minutes, and we'll pay everyone, although pittance, and we'll attempt to provide, and we'll keep thinking and attempting to provide a better show for you guys at no cost to you. But we're living in the real world, and if I come out with a book, you guys, even though you can get it on Amazon for $13.50, it's relatively inexpensive. If you'd like to buy one for a friend, God bless you. But you need to buy the book so that we can keep the lights on here so that we can continue to do the podcast. And I think people understand that.
Totally. And if this book continues to sell as it's doing, then you will be asked to write another book. And thus, the lights will stay on here.
Right.
And by the way, collateral benefit to me, little old me, little old tiny old me, with my little book, Exploiting My Baby, just on your coattails, has like broken into the top 1,000, which is a pretty big deal for a book that comes out in January.
Hold on, dude.
So thank
there's
you.
1,000 books?
Oh, wow.
And you're not... But
you don't understand. If I was in the top 5,000, it would be a celebration for my publisher.
This is not including pamphlets and things like Sky Malls.
No, these are actual books.
Not including the stuff that would be in the seat in front of you on a Southwest flight?
No. Well, unless somebody put a brief history of time, which, by the way, you're beating.
Wow. Well, good times. And again, I thank you all. And let me say this, too, and we'll go right on to the news.
Yes.
The literati who thought about books and me writing books, believe me, I was looked at askance. An eyebrow or two was raised in the world with all these hotshots in their ivory towers over there in Manhattan, New York City. They were like, who the hell wants you to write a book and who the hell's going to buy one of your books? So they essentially, and God bless her, but when Sarah Silverman says she's going to write a book, they fucking back up a Brinks truck to her condo slash house and they pay her 10 times what they pay me because they're like, well, who's going to buy your books? And I gave them, we have a very dedicated, we're few, but we're proud. And you'll see, I think people will rise to the occasion. And you guys.
And I said, one out of every 100 of Adam's fans.
Right.
Kind of will tolerate me.
You guys have raised, got their attention over there. And this, again, this new form of communication that we've created, which is, we don't have to have 20 million fans anymore. You have 150 or 200,000 hardcore fans that will support you. And it's not charity. We're not asking for donations. Fuck, me and Mike Lynch spent 5 million hours working on this goddamn piece of shit
book.
It's
the hardest thing you've ever done, right?
Yes, and I'm asking for $14. So it'll be worth it to you, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Thank you.
Okay.
Rest of the news. Sorry.
Big day for the gays.
Yeah.
Big day. A federal judge overturned California's same-sex marriage ban in a landmark case that could eventually land before the U.S. Supreme Court to decide if gays have a constitutional right to marry in America.
It's what is it with this country where, I mean, I know what it is. We don't have problems, so we just pick out a few things and we just go around and legalize marijuana, gay marriage, legalize gay marriage and marijuana. And, blah, blah, blah. And you know, it just never ends. Who gives a fuck? Here's the whole deal with all this stuff between the pot, the gay marriage, and whatever other thing you shouldn't give a shit about. If you're not gay and you care a lot,
why?
Something's up.
Whenever you see these, they always have the word family in it, like whatever.
Right.
Support the family.
Yeah.
Family. Whenever you see one of these. Yeah, whenever you see one of these dudes on your cable television.
Always
looks
like he could suck a cock.
Oh, it looks like he's just sucked a mile of cock every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling
he's gay.
They look on the down low. Mm-hmm. Why are they so concerned? It's like the guy at the candlelight vigil for the little girl that disappeared.
Yeah.
And police noticed that same
dude's
always in the picture.
Got the candle pushed through a paper plate, didn't even know the family.
Right. Why is he so interested?
It's like he's got a boner. He's got a boner and a clippings.
At a vigil? Do you really want a boner?
Yeah. No one wants a boner at a vigil.
No, except the guy who took the kid.
I understand the conservative people that are religious people that, like, don't want gay relationships taught to their, you know, fourth graders or third graders as part of health education or whatever. I mean, I understand the parents, you know, there's uptight parents. There's traditional, religious, whatever, who don't want their nine-year-olds learning about cornholing. Fine. Like, I understand that. And I do understand that there's a small segment of society that is like, well, we do think that marriage should be between a man and a woman. Like, I understand it.
Great.
But that's a small segment, and then everyone else should not give a shit.
Right.
I mean, as I said, when End Hate for Eight or whatever that
prop
fucking
hate.
What's it called?
Prop Hate.
Prop Hate, which is Prop this 8 is what or whatever,
yeah.
And they gave me, you know, give me the five top reasons gays should be able to get married.
Right.
I went, number one, they pay their taxes, they're citizens of these United States, and it's only fair. And then number two through five, so you homos would shut the fuck up. Can't stand, fuck it, they're the loudest people on the planet.
Well, look, you can be
next story.
Stop pissing off the blacks and the gays. They're loud.
There you go.
Start pissing off the Asians.
I think you already have.
I have, but you know what a fucking Asian...
and you heard about it.
Yeah, but an Asian rally sounds like this. Hell no, we won't go.
With some excellent violin playing.
Yeah, all right. It's time for cello practice. We got to blow out of here. Who's going to play the pan flute while we march off to go practice our cello? Yeah, that's the point. That's the point. Let's stop annoying the blacks and the gays. They're so goddamn loud, and they evidently have a lot of free time on their hands, too.
Well, you'd make the time if your civil rights were being taken from you unfairly.
Yeah.
Now, this is a contract, right? Marriage is a contract. As you know, you've entered into it.
Yeah.
What does God have to do with it, or what you care about who has sex with you? It's a contract. It
Kiss
means that
my fat
Thank you, Tyra. It means that if my husband is sick, I can go see him in the hospital. If we would like to adopt a child together, we can do that. If he has insurance and I would like to have it, I can be on his insurance plan.
They can. I feel like they can adopt at this point. But look, who cares? Let him do it. Who gives a fuck?
It's a fanny party!
In many states, they can.
Do it to shut the homos up and let's move on. That's my whole thing. I don't even want them to get married or not get married. I'm tired of hearing about it as a straight guy. And by the way, you know, hearing about marriage is sort of, it's like a lot. You know when people went to the dentist? And you go, what happened? Oral surgery, root canal, and then they botched the first one. And you kind of do that thing where you go, let's not talk about that so much. I feel the same way about marriage. I just don't like to hear about it all day, every day.
Right.
It's fine. Let's move forward. Let them get married. Shut them up. Let's get moving.
Well, let's celebrate the Constitution, which provides for equal protection and due process.
You know what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on is the right side of this country and the more traditional side of this country feels like we're sliding. And it feels like, you see, you know, they pick out gay marriage, but they do it in a kind of way that the NRA does with stuff, which is, let's just make a stand because the borders are porous, the gays are getting married, guys are wearing cut-off sweats on flights, and everything's, the music's all fucking, everyone's wearing their pants around their ankles, and the kids are for shit, and no one's learning anything, and the music sucks, and there's this whole, like, we're sliding away from a traditional society that they want. I mean, I can compartmentalize, which is, I would like the border beefed up, and I would like the gays beefed up in their marriage. Like, get married, gays, beef up the borders. But I think there's a group in this, there's a portion of our society that just, they're traditional. It's not like, we're against gays, or we're against illegal immigration. It's just, we're traditional. We want things, we want people to dress nice, we want white people to be with white people and black people to marry black people and gays not to be talked about at public schools, and they're very like, that's what it is. And they sort of have a view that, well, some of it is like, all right, you make a point, other parts like, that's a big step socially backwards. But you have to be able to compartmentalize. Gays can get married, pot can be legalized, society's not going to fall off into the sea. But I do agree, enact a dress code at the schools and beef up the border.
I'm for the dress code.
I am too.
And look, in states that have legalized gay marriage, sky didn't fall.
No.
Everything's fine.
Nothing ever happens.
And, you know, Loving versus Virginia, which was the precedent-setting case back in 1967 that ended race-based marriage discrimination, at that time, in 1967, a lot of people were very disturbed by the notion of interracial marriage. 1967 doesn't seem like very long ago.
Now we jack off to it.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
Some polls suggest that even today, 20% of people don't like the idea of interracial marriage. Some polls suggest that. So society is evolving, and you can't stop it.
It is. So. Yeah. There's that thing, again, this is what people think I'm a racist, but there's a thing where by the way, Jews are at the tip of this spear, and so are the aforementioned Asians, where you would like your own to marry your own, not because you hate other races, but just because your own is sort of your own.
I like to think we're at the foreskin of this.
You're at the foreskin.
Thank you.
You're at the tip of the schwanz on this, which, I think it probably goes maybe like Korean, Jew, Whitey. I don't know where. Whitey's down somewhere behind Jews and several Asian nationalities on the marry your own or don't bring home a brother kind of thing. So I don't think it's bad. I mean, it's built into us. I understand it. You could, not your mother, Teresa, but let's say you had a mother that cared.
Right.
And she wanted her Jewish daughter to marry a Jewish boy. Because she wants that
cultural connection.
Yeah. She wants her grandson brought up in that environment, whatever. It doesn't mean she hates other cultures.
Right.
That's what she wants. There is a part of that that's built into all cultures and every society. It's fine. It's healthy. It's what is. That part I understand.
I agree. There's a comfort level. For example, my mother-in-law is Catholic, and if she were attached to a lie detector, would she prefer that I be Catholic?
Lie detector, one shot of NyQuil away from calling you a hook-nosed heave and throwing her out of your trailer. Yes, are you kidding? Lie detector.
I offered to have my son baptized. What the fuck do I care?
Really?
Like, God gives a shit?
But baptizing Manischewitz, Teresa?
Well, it's a caveat. I don't care. If it means something to her, what do I care?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to much lighter news. Speaking of motherhood, Gisele Bündchen had a baby. She welcomed her son Benjamin Ryan.
Is that her and Tom Brady?
That's right. 7 months ago, they had little Benjamin. Now, how did she get back in shape?
Dear Bill Simmons. Dear online diary. The great one, Tom Brady, emptied his ball sack into Gisele Bündchen. Wait a minute. Typo. Delete. And 9 months later, one of the most beautiful children ever to spring forth from a supermodel's loins came forth with, I'm guessing, a howitzer for a ride on. Go Pats.
That's right.
Would you like to know how she got back in shape?
Oh, fuck. I'm so tired of supermodels explaining how they got back into shape.
You know how? Here's how. I'm going to start out with amazing jeans. I'm going to be like 6 feet tall and really young.
Right.
That's first.
Uh-huh.
But what she says is kung fu, meditation, and breastfeeding. She says she practiced kung fu 2 weeks before giving birth, yoga 3 times a week throughout her pregnancy, and meditated every day, all of which helped her body bounce back quickly. She's also a big-time advocate for breastfeeding. Now, here's the quote that's getting a lot of attention. She said...
How old is she, do we know?
Jizz?
Yeah.
How old is Jizz? We'll have our crack staff look it up. Mm-hmm. She's got to be in her 20s, right?
I feel like she's been around for a while, though, but she could have started model, when so she was 16. Yeah.
It's likely she started in her late teens.
Is it a boy or a girl?
Benjamin.
Oh, it's a Benjamin. It's a boy. Goddamn. Kid's going to be a piece of ass.
So here's her quote. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a worldwide law that mothers should breastfeed their babies for 6 months. Mm-hmm. That is what she told Harper's 30. Bazaar.
Mm-hmm. She's 30.
Yeah.
30. Yeah.
So she's saying you should breastfeed for 6 months worldwide, and it should be a law.
I just, again, all that bullshit. I was just, Mike and I were just going, doing a little proofreading on my book, and I got to that part where I was cutting umbilical cords and all that kind of shit, and all that shit that you don't remember that, you know, again, being a good mom and being a good dad is very important. The part where the kid is 3 days old or 6 days old or 6 weeks old, you don't remember any of that shit. Like, if I had a choice, I would much rather my dad not cut the umbilical cord and then hang out and be a really good dad versus cut the cord and be a lukewarm pop. You know, we take all the pressure off with all this weird mysticism that happens beforehand. Yeah, I'm sure breast milk is great. Also, bottles great. Everything's great. The thing is, be present, provide, put a roof over your fucking kid's head, take him to the doctor, get him a shot. Everything's cool.
Now, is this going to creep you out if I ask you, did your mom breastfeed you? Do you know?
I don't know.
I'm so curious now.
I don't know if she knows.
She's got to know.
I'd like to think
not. Do you think Lynette knows?
I don't know.
You'd like to think that never happened.
Listen.
You'd remember. It takes a long
time. I know that my parents needed to go to a couple Pop Warner football games, not cut cords or breastfeed or any of that shit. It's all, they need to get a little involved. They need to go to a couple parent-teacher conferences. They needed to, someone needed to get hold of me when I was 17 and go, hey, man, you got a couple of letters from a couple of decent colleges here. Why don't we get you in a, have you take the SAT class and see if we can't get you a decent grade and get you off to UC Davis. No, that's what I needed. Not the fucking part where they saved my placenta.
Right. I think that would have been more important to you than, say, Gymboree at 6 months.
Right. Exactly.
Or Todd Shabbat.
Yes. Either way, I'm very happy for the two.
God bless them. I think God already has blessed them.
Yes, I know.
From the looks of things.
And the thing that's crazy, and I know... I need a list of people that make too much fucking money. Like, you know, they do this thing where it's like, well, Tom Brady's trying to sign a deal where he, you know, it's going to be, he's going to make him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, where he gets $31 million a year, although he still won't make as much money as his bride, Gisele Bündchen. It's like, what? I mean, I'm cool with Gisele bringing $6 million a year home, but would she make $42 million a year? I know she makes banks or something for chicks, or she sells stuff and models. But first off, people don't really know when you're making. I mean, we're talking about her making like literally like $750,000 a week.
Because of the genetic hand she was dealt.
Right, but what is she selling? And I know when people go, "Oh, she's got her own perfume." Okay, but are people buying gallons of Bündchen?
Does it smell like really good DNA? What does that smell like?
I don't know.
I'd like that. Can I buy her perfume? Is it going to make me 6 feet tall?
Why is she making $40 million a year? How is this
done? It says here on her Wikipedia, I don't know anything about this, but it says on her Wikipedia she's been the face of a variety of advertising campaigns, including several seasons of Christian Dior, Mervyn's Dolce & Gabbana, Versace, Bulgari. These are big, you know, names who I guess have paid her to be their face of the company.
$28 million annually. And I understand.
Valentino, Ralph Lauren, blah, blah, blah.
I understand, but is it still worth, I mean, to make 20, you know, listen, to make $4 or $5 million a year, you're doing pretty fucking good for yourself. To make $28 million a year, you have to make you got to make $2.5 million or almost $2.5 million a month.
Victoria's Secret, Nivea lotion, and several Brazilian brands, including Citibank and Volkswagen.
There's a bunch of shit going on in Brazil that we're not aware of.
Yeah, and I guess there's some kind of magic to how to sell a cream, because let's face it, Nivea and whatever, they're all the same. So somehow Gisele Bündchen's face or body sells your cream. And that's why you pay her a shitload of money. She sells your designer clothing.
My God. It's like I never even hear her fucking talk.
I can't even imagine what her voice sounds like.
Who makes more money than she does without talking? Like, who is that? You know, you understand. Okay. Letterman makes $32 million a year, $34 million. But if a guy fucking works his ass off.
Yeah, even Tyra and Heidi Klum, the other big supermodels.
At least they talk.
We've heard them speaking. They do commercials.
Yeah, we wish Tyra would have some of that cement that BP's pumping into the well.
Maybe she could retire her mouth.
Put in her mouth. So put a cap on that bitch. Yeah. But, I'm jealous. Don't get me wrong.
Of course. This is out of jealousy, purely.
But Jesus, fuck. I don't feel like I've seen her talk.
I'll just say, if you are a breastfeeding mom right now and you're having trouble, because some people do struggle with it, and Jizz is out there telling everybody that there should be a law that you breastfeed 6 months while you're trying your best and failing, you're going to be pretty pissed off at the likes of Jizz.
I think if you're female, you're pissed off at the likes of Jizz.
Well, just, you know, God bless her, but like, sell bras, but why don't you stay out of mine?
All right. I agree.
God, I'm on a soapbox today. Moving on.
I'm getting cathartic.
Here's a story about sandwiches.
Gays and jizz, your two favorite topics.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Next story.
Next. Wow.
Yeah. Is that who you want getting married?
Gays.
They are married. Lynn and Alex are married.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah. Okay. There's a guy in New York, and he sells grilled cheese sandwiches, but he uses a model that has been established by drug dealers.
Gisele Bündchen.
He sells the Gisele sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
The cheese is made with breast milk. No, he takes orders from customers via text message. He hands off the product in a paper bag while the customers hand over the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a drug dealer would do. He's identified only as Ronnie, this New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, he's taken a bite out of the drug dealer's business model. He cooks up the famous grilled cheese sandwiches in his brother's apartment, then makes the deliveries, charging between $5 and $7 a pop. He's become so successful that he finds himself making up to 40 sandwiches a day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can start to add up. And what's the deal? I mean, obviously he makes a hell of a grilled cheese sandwich, and some guy brings it over on a bicycle, and...
Because you feel like it's exclusive. Like, I have this guy's text number. So I'm going to text in my grilled cheese. I mean, that would be kind of fun, say, if you were on a date. Like, are you hungry?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry. Would you like the most amazing grilled cheese you ever had? Let me text the guy.
I was thinking surf and turf, but... I want to go grilled cheese?
I only have text for the grilled cheese guy.
Next.
Joe Simpson, your favorite.
Yeah, he's at the light.
He's in the news.
I like a preacher with frosted tips, earrings, and can't stop talking about his daughter's cans.
Well, in this case, he can't stop ruining her career. At least that's the report. You know, there was a lot of talk that she was going to be on American Idol.
Uh-huh.
But sources close...
I mean, she was going to be one of the judges?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
But sources close to the situation say Joe Simpson ruined everything. They say Idol producers really like Jessica, but they decided to go with Jennifer Lopez instead because Joe was being too demanding.
Hey, listen, you want my daughter and her big jugs to show up, you know... She's going to need a town car for her. She's going to need a stretch limo for her big jugs. She's going to need a trailer for her. She's going to need another trailer for her jugs. She's going to need a bottle of wine for her and actually a jug for her jugs because they drink from a jug. Oh, man, is she hot. Boy, I'd love to TF my daughter. Man, she's smoking.
What about Ashley?
Ashley, well, haven't we figured out that both of them are sort of talentless?
There's a chance that Jessica might have some singing talent.
Right, but not Ashley. We heard Ashley attempt to sing.
Yeah, there was that SNL fiasco.
Then also like the Gator Bowl.
I was there. It was the Orange Bowl.
Don't ever correct me on that. Ever. Ever.
Sorry.
Now, she was doing Second City.
Is that the one that doesn't count anymore?
Right. That never happened.
She was at the... So you were there.
Yeah.
And what happened?
I was walking in the concourse area. I think I'm going to buy some souvenirs because we're beating Oklahoma by 35 points. And all of a sudden I hear this crazy booing. And I'm like, what could possibly be going on right now that all this... Like, it was a... The whole stadium was booing. And it was uh-huh. Turned out it was Ashley Simpson. I mean, I found this out days later.
Did you hear any of her filings?
I couldn't hear what was going on, but I heard everyone. I'm like, why is there booing going on? It's middle of halftime.
And that was Ashley singing.
Turns out later I found out it was Ashley Simpson.
And then she went on SNL and couldn't sing either.
Yeah, her backing track. Didn't start. Right,
yeah, and then she said she had acid reflux.
Yeah. So she has a horrible voice. But she was sort of talentless with a big nose, and the other one was semi-talented with big boobs, so she got the nod.
Right, and then Ashley got the nose job, which is one of the most phenomenal nose jobs in the history of Hollywood, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah.
Really
and
looks good.
A lot of performers, like Barbara Streisand wouldn't get a nose job because she'd be scared to screw up her voice.
Oh, she wouldn't touch her nose, yeah, because even though it's arguably sizable, she's got the voice.
But if you have a horrible voice, then who cares? Someone punch you in the nose.
Ashley Simpson's really more about the face. You know, so if you fix that and you just get a backing track.
Right. It's a great time.
She get the chin job, too?
Yes. It looks to me as though...
It looks like it, but but also her sister has a lot of chin, too. So I don't know that she got the chin job.
Pretty sure she got a chin.
It looks like it, yeah. But sometimes also pictures are tough because of angles and whatever. But her sister has that cleft and the whatever chin thing going, too. So at least she just brought herself up to her sister's standards.
Jessica has a certain charm that's undeniable.
She does.
And she's sexual napalm, if you ask John Mayer.
Yeah.
Aren't you curious now? Like, what constitutes sexual napalm to John Mayer?
Well, he loves the smell of it in the morning. That much we know.
Does smell like victory.
I could definitely see her being, you know, fun in the sack. Because there's a couple of things that make her fun in the sack. She's got a few curves on her.
Yeah.
These sort of twiggy, waify models, the kind of built like teenage boys. Doesn't seem like a party in the sack. And then she grew up with a preacher for a dad. That just goes ahead. You just ratchet up the sex right there because everything is taboo and daddy would hate this. And you know what I'm saying?
I think you just put the nail on it. Forgot about that.
Mix in a little bit of dumb, too. I mean,
mix in a little dumb.
I'm kind of curious, like naive.
Yeah, I've never had a cock in my ear before.
Oh, my God. That's kind of fun. It tickles?
Don't ever...
Get that drop.
Don't ever discount... Don't ever discount the... I got this weird shame-based, religious, brought up, told to keep my virginity... Lots of talks about purity and being wholesome and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, John Mayer just fucking pulls a ripcord on my pussy parachute.
So if I see a purity ring,
look out. No, it's like this. People that are normal, who grow up in normal environments where they're not uptight. You know what I mean? They don't have weirdo youth counselor dad filling their head with a bunch of shit. They just sort of, their sexuality sort of leaks out a little bit at a time. You know what I mean? But they never get that pressure cooker boiling up. The napalm boiling in that pressure cooker. You know what I'm saying? You could see her dad having talks with her when she was 16 or 15 and a half. Listen, hold on. Let me put my other stud earring on. Hold on. How do my tips look?
Excellent.
Okay. Now listen, you got those huge jugs.
Yeah.
Those big, juicy D cups.
Dad.
Oh my God. Beautiful, supple, powder.
Dad.
With their massive areolas. And there are going to be plenty of boys that are going to want to get their hands, nay, mouth,
aww,
on those big,
Dad,
beautiful, beautiful, milky, milky, smooth, white, heaving jugs of yours, okay? They're going to want to do things called the motorboat. There's something called TFing that I got. Honey, get the dry erase board. I got to draw this one out. Hold on. How are my tips looking?
Can we end family meeting?
No, okay, but point is this. You don't give it up. Don't give it up for none of them. At some point, some guy coming along playing the blues guitar, some skinny white guy with a cool haircut who wears one of them Borat Speedos on a cruise ship. He's going to want to get at them milky white jugs. Don't you let him touch it.
Dad!
Don't you let him get near those big, heaving, inflated, milky, beautiful, supple and soft to the touch jugs.
Ew!
Okay? Daddy. Don't you ever let him do that. You keep your purity for some guy in a boys band, all right?
This has been a wonderful reenactment.
Dad?
Okay.
Can we have a catch?
Yeah, let's have a catch. Catch those big jugs of yours. All right, now what happens when that chick cuts it loose?
Napalm.
Napalm.
Explosive.
Right. Versus the...
Slowly.
Yeah.
I'm going to experiment with
you want to get
this,
to second base? Yeah, you're 13. You're old enough.
Right.
Have fun.
I saw...
Put a towel down. I want to fuck up the car seat.
What about Lori Singer in Footloose when her dad's John Lithgow? And he's the preacher, and then she's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, listen. It's what happens when you try to suppress it.
It's just going to get more napalmy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is great.
We have more news.
Uh-huh.
But for now,
all right.
That's it.
All right.
More of Teresa's news coming up. If you don't listen, you're an anti-Semite.
We'll do a little totally topical TiVo trivia. This is actual TiVo descriptions as made by TiVo. We will remove, hold on a second, Brian, we'll remove the celebrities and the stars of the movie so as not to tip it. First, I should point out to everyone that we're on a little something called Stitcher. Stitcher's an app, and you can go to Stitcher.com and you can download this app for free. And then you can listen to this show for free on your free Stitcher app. That's right. iPhone, BlackBerry, Android, and Palm. It's all right on. Goes right on. No problemo. And again, you don't download this show. It's just there. It streams. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to put it on your computer and download it and do whatever. So go to Stitcher.com. And we also will provide a little bonus stuff for you. Like when I hung out with Lisa Lampanelli and talked her ass off for 10 minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, Stitcher.com. Here, the Adam Carolla Show exclusively at Stitcher.com. All right. Now, a little totally topical TiVo trivia.
Let's play Totally Topical TiVo Trivia Time today.
By the way, Ace, what you were saying about the preacher's daughter, right on. And it gets even uglier and better in your favor when the preacher knows about you and doesn't like you.
So you're saying you were the Kevin Bacon?
Right. the funniest part was she her daddy was a rich preacher.
Uh-huh.
And he leased her a Range Rover and said, you break up with that guy or I'm going to take away your Range Rover. So.
And but I mean, to be fair to him, Dawson, I don't feel like anyone's dad would be delighted if you pulled up on your longboard with your bong.
Right, dude.
Being pulled
maybe
by her dog.
Smoke pot, then.
I think that's why she liked me, though. I think I represented the devil for her.
Yeah.
So
bad boy.
All right. First of five wins.
All right.
In 1950s Connecticut. Two suburbanites.
Revolutionary Road.
from 2008. Wow. Teresa's on the board.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
I should have said my name.
Feel free to ring out your name, Teresa.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
During World War II, members of an all-black unit.
Adam. Miracle at St. Anne.
From 2008.
Wow.
Tied up.
Wow.
Champ Rocky Balboa. Trains.
Brian.
Oh, shit.
Well, he was the.
Adam.
Rocky IV.
From 1985.
See, the key there was Champ.
Yeah.
Champ Rocky Balboa. He wasn't the champ in number one. Yeah. He wasn't the champ
trains
in number two.
Is what I thought about with
that
him.
That was good.
Everyone's got one now?
Everybody's got one. Mm-hmm. Filmmaker Christopher Bell examines the use of steroids.
Adam. Bigger, Stronger, Faster America.
Just Bigger, Stronger, Faster is fine from 2008.
Huh. We had him on our show.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
Yeah, great documentary.
Two guys party when they're bumped off boss.
Adam.
Brian.
Damn it.
Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah.
Yeah, from 1989.
Wait a second. What? I got three and... T's got one and Brian's got one?
I believe,
You have a commanding lead.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Brian, I need you to focus.
I know.
In Boston, an undercover...
Teresa.
Oh. Brian.
Teresa.
Oh, this is... Wait, I know this one.
Go.
Okay, this is... it's got Leonardo DiCaprio. And it's called... the one where... Hold on. I know it. He looks all grows up in it. And he's a cop, and then Jack Nicholson's there.
Brian.
Fuck.
The Departed?
Yes.
From 2008.
This ain't reality TV!
But come on, shouldn't I get like half a point?
You should.
Should.
I named the entire cast. All right.
3-2-1.
God damn it.
A perpetual bridesmaid balks.
Brian. 27 dresses?
Wow.
I was going to say that. God damn it.
Yeah,
so gay of me.
You are gay for saying
that.
Yeah.
All right, now Brian's got three.
Brian did not get a point for that.
What?
Yeah, it's 3-3. A newly promoted field agent.
Brian, Silence of the Lambs?
Partnered with veteran Agent 99.
Adam.
Wow.
Get Smart?
Yeah. From 2008.
So you went a little too fast on that one.
All right, 4-3-1. In post-war Germany, a teenager has a love affair.
Teresa.
The Reader. I know it,
Wow. The Reader.
Wow.
Good job.
J.J. McClure, his mechanic, and other veteran competitors.
Adam. Gumball Rally?
Enter another cross-country auto race.
Brian, Cannonball Run 2?
Cannonball Run 2.
Jesus.
Ace and Brian tied at 4.
God damn, should have got that one.
Teresa's still in the game. Two Jamaicans.
Adam.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, fuck. Two Jamaicans. Cool Runnings?
From 1990.
Wow!
That was
going to
be my
game. Goes to the Ace Man.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Wow. In your head, Tumor. In your head. Woo!
Nicely done.
Two Jamaicans? I thought it was like eight Jamaicans.
They were a bobsled team, right? So
yeah. What?
Two-man bobsled.
Wow.
Nice going.
Wow. Wow.
Cool runs.
Wow.
Cool runs. Two Jamaicans. What else could it possibly be?
Well, is there another movie with two Jamaicans?
No. I thought that movie had like eight Jamaicans in it.
Well, I'm sure there were other Jamaicans, but they weren't part of the bobsled team.
All right. I want to say this. I'd like to be magnanimous for a second.
God.
Well, it's going to be tough.
That was a spectacular round there. I don't think there were more than three words given on any of the descriptions before, with the exception of your Departed hiccup.
That was a disaster.
Without that abortion. Yeah. But that aside, that was a very... everyone was on their game. Even my slip-up with my Gumball Rally. The Gumball Rally and the Cannonball Run is essentially the same.
Well, we should
movie.
Fix that in post and make ourselves sound
that
better.
Up in post.
And
that's a win you can be proud of.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that win. Thank you. Hey, that one is for my kids if you're listening.
Quick break to tell you about GEICO. Because if you own or rent,
then of course that can be hard work, but let's make it easy for you by bundling those policies with Geico. Because Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing because you already got so much going on. So here's what you do. You go to geico.com, you get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is that?
It's Geico easy.
It sure is. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And that was Teresa's news and the TiVo game back in 2010. I love that game.
I know, too. It's fun. And that was a really lively one with a great series of people answering things with very short descriptions from Dawson. So it's one of the exceptional. It's almost like a negative Rotten Tomatoes game.
Right. Yeah. I love when they get it just within a word or two of Dawson's description. It's beautiful.
That's what that whole clip was. It's delightful.
Yeah. All right, well, that will do it for Corolla Classics today. Make sure to tune in tomorrow's Geo Set to hear the continuation of a lot of these clips, and we will see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.